Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
So I don't know. This is the Webcomic Beacon, episode 52, coming at you from webcomicbeacon.com. I'm not going to repeat myself. I will. If you don't know that URL, how did you know about us? Anyway, this is Fess of PSIWebcomic.com, and with me, my co-host, is Tanya of Betapone.com.
Hello, hello.
And with us, we got a couple of guest hosts today. As well, we have Hogan returning from the Cameo and Crossover Archive. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, Fess. Hello, Tanya.
Hi.
And we also got the Cameo whore himself, Cam, from The Camics on DrunkDuck.com. Welcome.
Hi.
How's everyone doing today?
Well, pretty much keeping alive.
This is kind of the last episode before we get to the new year. For the Webcomic Beacon, next week, episode 53. Actually, depending on Tanya, will you be here next weekend because of Thanksgiving or?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, well, I'll be here.
Next weekend will be episode 53, marking the first of our second year starting, and we haven't missed an update.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Amazing! Yeah.
So when we come back for episode 53, it's going to be an open forum / possibly spectacular failure type of episode. It's just going to be whatever, and we want to get a lot of people on for that. So for sure, coming next week. But this week, we are talking about cameos. We've already talked about crossovers for a little bit before, but this week it is cameos. Hogan, on your site, you have a collection of crossovers and cameos for webcomics. What is your stipulation between a cameo and a crossover?
Well, it's pretty much easy. A crossover is a major undertaking where it takes two different comics and sort of weave their stories together. At one point, they run their stories along the same road because they split the ways and go each to each other direction. A cameo is much more easy. A cameo is simply where one artist decides to show off characters from another comic as a homage to that comic in their comic. That's much more easy, and it's been done since the birth of time.
Well, what about when somebody takes somebody else's character and has them for like a long-standing role? Is that a crossover?
No, not in my book. Of course, there's no set definition for it, so I just call it an extended cameo.
Indeed. I wanted to get that clarification out there because a lot of people will go ahead and call the extended cameos crossovers.
They will.
Yeah, but, then it just gets down to, nitpicking and such. In any case, it's just all fun.
It's a lot of fun. If you're the one who has to record it all.
Right. Though I know that there are some people out there that don't like, cameos. And well, they may like cameos, all right, but crossovers they may get a little upset at. And it's just you just have a little fun with it. But we're not talking about crossovers this week. We're talking about cameos. And I'm going to turn the microphone over to Cam here, the cameo whore, I guess. Cam, tell us a little bit about your comic, The Camics.
Oh, it's kind of a random thing. I mean, the title is just it's a generic title for a bunch of different cartoon series I do.
Mm-hmm.
My mind tends to wander, so I just sort of hop and skip from different things. There are some that I tend to do over and over. I mean, the rock hounding stuff, which I do for my club newsletter. And then, of course, there's just other characters who are just so popular or who are just so much fun to write, like Gertrude and Brunhilde, whom I do a lot of. Other things will pop up from time to time in series, but not as frequently. Is that enough?
Well, you're kind of fading out a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
I guess you're the only one we got right now that's on an actual phone. But anyway, that'll work. In any case, so essentially, your comic is just a collage of multiple comics, essentially, just kind of.
Yeah.
It's its own webcomic multiverse, essentially.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you almost can't go three strips in the comics without seeing a character from somebody else's comic, if not at least every other. What is your goal just to give Hogan a heart attack or what?
I probably would not be doing it as much if the archive didn't exist. So yes, it's Hogan's fault.
Now it's all my fault.
But no, I think it's something too, because there are comics out there that I like or with the creators, I'm friends with the creators, so sometimes I'll throw their characters in if I think it'll fit. There are other characters that's just, fun to use.
Right. And for most of the time, they're usually just like one-off cameos. Do you ever...
Usually.
As far as extended cameos go, can you recall any that you have done? Or utilized for something a little bit longer?
Hello?
I can tell you.
I don't think I've done a lot of extended cameos.
They tend to be a little bit more like crossovers with you.
Yeah, if I use a character a lot, it's usually because I've been talking to the person and we're the cameo caper.
Right.
Where, some of these characters might pop up a little more frequently than, once. I think the first extended cameo was Steve from Life and Death.
Right.
Which mainly was supposed to be one cartoon, but it was just too much. There's too much jokes and stuff going on, so I had to split it up into two cartoons.
Joff's Life and Death comic is one that you have crossed over a lot with, or extended cameoed. It's hard to keep track because essentially what happens in the comics is, at least between Gertrude and Brunhilde and a couple of the Life and Death characters, tends to be canon for Life and Death, and also vice versa. Whether they're not, at least from what I've observed, they're not entirely direct crossovers, but they're still kind of like separate canon stories.
For some reason, when I was doing the appearance of Steve, it just sort of popped into my head that Brunhilde was interested in Bobby. I'm not sure why.
Let's clarify. Steve is the Life and Death's Grim Reaper, and Bobby is Life and Death's life, I guess, character. Yeah.
And it just popped into my head that Brunhilde liked him. I mean, it's one of the strange things is you think you create these characters and then just things pop out of nowhere and it's like, oh, okay.
And not only that, well, I wanted to get more people on for this show because it seems like a lot of it, there's kind of like a posse that is over at the Dragoneer boards, the message boards that the Cameo and Crossover Archive is hosted at. A lot of drunk duckers, basically, Life and Death, the Kamix, Magical Misfits, and a few others, do a lot of things together, especially with Gertrude and Brunhilde, who has also showed up in the Magical Misfits as well.
They're very popular.
And I wanted to ask you about Gertrude and Brunhilde. Personally, as far as the Kamix go and all, I think they're your strongest characters. As far as all the other characters that you made in the comics, I think they're your strongest characters. But
around, they've been used them the most.
Well, yeah.
Developed a lot.
Looking at all the stories and such, they seem to have developed tons of character through their crossovers and cameo appearances in other strips. Would you agree with that?
Well, it's interesting. I thought they developed, whether they'd been in others or not, but I think it does help, you know, with the way other people interpret them.
Or brought out more, I guess, would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always found that it's kind of interesting because it's kind of like, it's almost like you kind of lost them. I mean, they're your characters, of course, but they're kind of like everybody's friends or something like that now because, you know, they're just such, I don't know, they just mesh well with so many other of comics. And did you have any idea that you'd create characters that'd be almost like cast members to other web comics? I mean, did you have any idea at all?
No, that was a surprise. I'm glad that they're popular. I'd be surprised sometimes to see them pop up in various places.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'll be like all over life and death. I was like, oh, there's Brunhilde. Okay.
It's always fun. Let's see here. Okay, totally. Just what?
No, I'm just laughing at you. Really?
What? Okay, you're always laughing at me.
I do.
Yeah. I mean, PSI has also had a couple of crossovers with the comics, specifically Gertrude and Brunhilde, once during the crossover wars, and one right now with Blade of Toshibi, which is on Drunk Duck as well. And we're having a lot of fun with the Halloween cameo caper. And so we got like a three-way crossover going on, Hogan.
Yes, I know. It's not a record. The records are still a four-way crossover, but you're closing in.
What was the do you know offhand what the four-way crossover was?
I remember there's the let's see, Rogue of Quadrain, Purple Duck Mambo, one of Glitch's comics, I can't remember.
Really?
A while back, I was wondering how many actual crossovers he had listed and the idiot who went through and counted.
The person whom you're trying to reach.
That, yeah, there was one there that had four crossovers.
Huh.
Although I think that was actually a part of the 2000 Great Escape, so.
Yeah, 2000, the Great Escape, you said?
Yeah, I think it was actually a subset of that.
Okay.
But I think he's got him listed as a crossover by himself. I think that's what he's referring to.
Yeah, because obviously he wasn't, you know, considering the crossover wars or the cameo caper as, because they're a little still, still the same story, they're still separated a little bit and not directly crossing over.
Yeah.
You know, nitpicking and everything. We seem to have lost Hogan.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Fell on his axe.
Yes, that's the thing. Anyone listening who doesn't know who Hogan is, I said he's the proprietor of the Cameo and Crossover Archive, and he has this thing where he has made cameos in other people's comics that do too many cameos or even crossovers at once, and the running gag is that he's going to, you know, come after you with an axe because he's... He does some role-playing, or is into, like, role-playing games or something like that. He plays a barbarian or something. I don't know the whole story, but I'd ask him, but he's not online anymore, so...
I think I was actually the first to do that. You know, I was doing Who is the Third Valkyrie when I was going to do the storyline revealing where Gertrude and Brunhilde's sister was.
Right.
And I had cameos of other women from different in the Valkyrie armor.
Right.
And the final gag was Hogan finally having enough and coming into my comic to deal with me, wielding the axe. And I think I'm the first one who did that, and it caught on.
Very cool.
Oh. Okay.
No, go ahead. Tanya?
No. I wasn't saying anything.
You wasn't?
Okay. I wasn't saying anything. Sorry. My computer unconnected. Yeah. I'm having English problems today. So.
You should learn to speak good.
I should learn to speak good. I apologize.
Well, I think right now is a perfect time to take a quick break and see if we can try to get Hogan back on here. If not, we'll just continue our conversation on the other side.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Okay, looking at the chat room, does anybody have any specific questions that they'd like to ask about cameos in general, or have something to say about cameos? I don't know. Did people just not find this thing interesting? I don't know. I didn't really have any much prep time. Most people didn't know about what the heck we were doing.
That is true. It was sort of like... Well, hell, I had to email you last night and find out what we were doing. So, yeah. And I'm not much of a crossover whore, as it turns out. I can barely draw my own characters.
You're misshapen bowling balls.
Yes. Potatoes.
Well, you pick
someone has a slightly
distinctive hats or hairstyles.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, we do have a lot of other things to talk about today as well. I kind of wasn't expecting the cameos thing to take too long, just because it's kind of fairly simple to go over. Let's see, Zordik is in the chat room. What are some favorite cameos? Are some cameos or crossovers more successful than others? What makes good crossover? We should probably talk a little bit more about crossovers another time. But personally, as far as what makes a good crossover, is when all involved parties integrate it well. I mean, given that they're both story comics, that they both integrate it well into their own comic. And if it's going to be just wild and crazy and not maybe canon, make sure you let people know that this is going to be a departure. So people aren't all trying to, to try to figure out where it fits and try to explain things, because some people don't like crossovers. Also, sharing the strips between each of your comic pages, like the Emergency Exit and Paranoia. What is it? Paranoia High.
Yeah.
When they did their giant crossover and another short little crossover a couple of months ago, they alternated both of their strips on both of their sites, so they both showing each other's instead of clicking and going over and looking for somebody else's. May work for simple crossovers, but something that's a little bit more in depth would probably be better if you just shared each other's strips, and it's just ease for the reader. And it's less likely to turn them off if they go on a big link hunt. A lot more questions were asked.
I know. It's amazing.
Do you want to answer one of them?
Well, let's see. There was one here. Dungeon Warden asked, what was the best way to tell someone you're using their character?
Most likely email.
Yeah, For the most part, you know, whenever I've done any sort of cameos or crossovers or anything like that, it's been with people I know. So, you know, it was a matter of chatting and talking things out. But if it was a little more of like an homage comic, do you notify them? Do you say, you know, hey, I used your character in this comic? Would you ask them permission before, or would you just do it and say, you know, this was because I loved your comic? And
Well, personally, if it's just like a background cameo where they don't really have a role, there should be absolutely no reason why you should have to worry about, you know, if, oh, is this legal or whatever? Because technically, I think it would be. Yeah. Just for something like that, if they have an active role and it's to their character and it's obviously not, you know, demeaning their character in any way, you know, if something simple, it should be okay. But it also is nice just to say, hey, I'm making a quick little cameo. But you know, always don't pressure them to link you, you know. That's up to them, because there's, I'm sure, a lot of the big people, the big guys in the webcomic world, get a lot of people crossing over their stuff, and I'm fairly certain they're not going to, just because, you know, there's a big circus about that. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask ahead of time if you think it might be something a little touchy, but for simple cameos, it should be all right to not ask permission. But if it's something going to be a little bit more involved, you should probably ask permission. Especially if you're not entirely sure how they would react. It all depends. Sometimes you can form, like, you know, get friends this way as well. It all depends.
Yeah. I think the most important thing is never be afraid to approach somebody. You know, we all get a little fan-struck occasionally and don't want to email somebody. And the most they can do is, you know, say no, go away. I don't want my stuff in your crappy comic. And then you can move on.
Yeah.
It's unlikely that'll happen, though. For the people that I've sort of nervously approached and been, you know, crazy fantarded over and kind of stammered and felt stupid, they were all really, really, really nice to me. So I find it, you know, it can be intimidating, but go ahead and ask. And if you are just doing it as a single shot, you know, kind of a little inside joke nudge to their comic, there's really no need to ask for permission unless you're going to be trying to sell prints of that particular comic or, you
right.
know, market it in any way.
Oh, yeah, especially Cam, I don't think you could ever really print your comic without getting a million different permissions.
Yeah.
And this, I guess it was free, but yeah, that's the other thing too. If you are planning on printing your comic, definitely make sure you have permission, especially for the longer, more involved cameos, extended cameos, and that goes for crossovers as well. Though usually, if you're actually crossing over, you kind of already, you know, figured something out, I'm sure. Let's see here. What other questions did we miss?
Well,
there's
a lot of talk all of a sudden. There's a little bit something about guest comics. And the only thing that I really wanted to touch on there is if somebody has approached you and asked to do a guest comic, if you plan on inserting your own characters into that guest comic, then it's a good idea to kind of clear that with them before you put any work into it. Some people are very sort of guarded about their canon, and they'll be very specific in their guest strip requests. So if you're going to be making it a crossover, or if you want to make it a crossover, making sure that's cool with the artist is always good. And also, if you're asking for guest comics, putting it out there that you don't mind if people use their own characters it's good form. It's polite.
Absolutely. And Hogan's back online. We'll get him in here. What? No.
What? You're talking to yourself.
I don't know. Hogan, are you back with us?
I sure hope so.
He is.
Well, we've already had a little bit of a discussion already, but we're not going to repeat ourselves. But there's a little bit more that we could climb in here. As far as like we were just talking about if somebody does a guest comic for somebody and they decide to put their own character in their guest comic for you, does that count as a cameo in their comic of their character because they did it? I mean...
I must admit that a few years ago I had that question to myself. But I ended up saying that a cameo appearing in a comic, no matter who made that exact strip, counts as a cameo.
Well, already then.
So if you made a strip for Cam to use, and you put Fez or Ernst in it, and he showed it on his side, it would count as a cameo with Fez and Ernst in the comics. As far as I see it.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, already then.
I had to make some rules to work with.
Yeah. Let's see. I think we have almost all the questions. It's hard to tell. It's only. Are you getting another question? Because the strip is negative. Why would you do a strip that's negative with some? You know, draw your character naked. Yeah, draw another people's character. Another thing with go ahead, Tanya.
I completely forgot what I was going to say as soon as he said naked. It's just gone. Go ahead. Oh, negativity. There we go. That's what it was. There are reasons that you would do a cameo of somebody else's character in your comic in a negative way, and that's if you were bashing their comic for whatever reason. You know, I mean, there are plenty of review sites that do it. It wouldn't be out of line for, it would be out of line, but it wouldn't necessarily be out of character for some comic creators to include somebody's character just to sort of bash them.
And sometimes it's even, I mean, under fair use, it could even be allowed, you know, as a parody. Mm-hmm. So.
But it's rude, and don't do it.
It is rude. But the thing is, if you go and bitch about it, then you're just playing into their hands of the drama and increasing of traffic and, you know, all of that crap. So
causing a flame wars, yeah.
The best way to keep people from finding bad stuff of people using your characters in bad ways is to not tell anybody about it if you find it.
And never mention it.
And never, ever mention, not even suggest that it was possible there, because people will go out and look for it.
Yes.
And some people used to do that.
Okay, we can move on.
Post, hey, did you know about this? Oh, the links would get out there anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's easy.
You might delay it a little bit at least, or keep it on the down low so it gets a little bit too old. Because there's a half-life for interest of things on the internet. If it goes without an update or somebody talking about it for so long, that increases the amount of that increases the speed for which it will, you know, go under the rug for a while. Boy, I don't know what the hell I'm using, like, all the wrong phrases here.
It's all good. The thing about, okay, we brought up the nudity thing. With generally, there was only one case where I was concerned. I had asked for guest strips, mm-hmm. and one of the Squidworks members showed me the roughs, and in the rough, it looked like everyone was just butt-ass naked. And I was like, wow, that's really great. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to post this. Because, it was really good. But at the same time, I thought everyone was naked. And I mean, and it ended, worse yet, on like a sex toy joke. So it would have been appropriate for everyone to be naked. But it turned out they were all wearing some sort of, I don't know, Lycra bodysuit things. Regardless. If you're planning on doing anything sexual with anybody else's characters, I think at the very least good form would dictate telling them. Yeah. And in that case, certainly don't expect a link back, especially if, you know, you've gone overboard.
Right.
There are comics where that would be perfectly appropriate and, you know, it wouldn't matter and everyone would laugh and that would be great. But I think you also run the risk of borderline harassment laws. I'm not really sure what you can get away with there.
On another note, sometimes other people drawing your characters in provocative, suggestive, or even naked positions, maybe the only way that the readers would ever see said character in such positions, which is really funny because I asked for guest art to be used as a part of a strip for PSI. It was the character Nemi was going to be going through a clothing change. And I asked for guest art for helping me with a clothing montage because I swore I would never, ever do a clothing montage. And also because Ernst would, beat me up, essentially. At least that was the joke in the comic at the time. But now he'd just beat up Fess. But so I got around that by doing a guest thing, and I was able to have Nemi in a couple of suggestive outfits and positions. And it wasn't me doing it. It was somebody else, so.
So it's allowed if other people do it.
Yes.
They would do it, but other people are allowed.
There's also a question of, now Hogan and I might disagree on this, but I do not consider a single panel that doesn't really connect to anything else a strip. If it's like a gag, a one-off gag, and it doesn't really connect to the strip before or after, if it's just like a one-off, like a holiday strip, so to speak, quote-quote, it's just art. If it's just one panel, it doesn't relate to anything else. I don't count that as a strip. It's just comic art. This wouldn't be a strip that in the numbers, it would be just in the bonus section under bonus art, personally. But I think you actually will count them as strips if they're showing up in the main archive line, right?
If they're showing up in the main continuity, yes, I would count them.
Yeah.
that's another case where I had to make a decision at one point.
Right.
And I decided if they're the main continuity, I would add them, no matter if it's just a one-shot fan art they're posting or it's a filler or something.
Yep, and I totally forgot.
Oh, let's go back. Let's go back to cameos and nudity.
Oh, okay.
It was a fun subject because now you mentioned it. 4 years ago, there was a comic about nudists called Luxia and Suda.
Oh yeah.
Yes, and at one point, the nude artist made one hell of a picture, one big pool party, where he had invited characters from I think it was 10 or 15 different comics all having fun in that pool, and of course everybody was totally naked. It's a nudist comic anyway.
Yeah.
It is very much a nudist comic, and it's really funny. They even have one that's like a Scooby-Doo episode including Jenny Everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to try to find the link for that one.
You know where to look.
Because Jenny was also in the big one as well. I found it right here. I'll post this in the chat room for everybody.
What a proper non-safe for work warning?
Not safe for work, but I don't know how you're listening to a podcast live and chatting at work.
in that case, amazed. You're
your job, I suppose.
I'm going to work where you work.
Yeah, but there it is. It's lots of naked. And there's some guy naked in there too, so keep in mind, guys. They'd be like, oh no, I don't want to see that. But anyway,
it's a funny comic. It's a good comic.
Yes.
And now with the subject, we love to talk about nudity. It's not a comic in its own mind, but C.J. Burgundy, mm-hmm. of, among others, Burgundy Comics Incorporated and Action Porn. She is running on her own forum something called Naked November.
Awesome.
Yes. Each day throughout all of November, she would draw one drawing of a character from another comics, a character drawn naked. And she is making pretty good ahead of it. I think she's about 18 done now.
Nice.
And she's working ahead. She's doing it this year.
Cool.
It can only be found in her own forum.
Okay, well, you'll have to get us a link to that for the show notes, I guess.
Oh, I bet you want to see it. I bet.
All right. Let's see here. I wanted to move on to... Oh, hey, Hogan. Who has the record for the most cameos and crossovers in a single strip?
In a single strip? I think... I'm quite sure it's got to be you. infamous Prison Break.
Yeah, for the crossover wars.
Yeah, well, one strip, 68 cameos, I think.
Good lord.
That was a pain. Matt. And it wasn't a group shot either. It wasn't a group shot. Well, everyone was kind of running this way and that, basically.
Yes.
But
it was really good, though.
If you count the group shots, I think we can find somebody with some 80 cameos in one strip.
Dang. Yeah, that was a pain in the butt. It took me 2 weeks to sketch out characters and ink them and everything.
And it got you a pain in the neck.
Yep. Alrighty. Well, let's see. Is there anything else we need to add about cameos specifically for this episode? Otherwise, I think we're pretty much done for the topic.
There's one person one thing I want to mention.
Mm-hmm.
We know he's a cameo whore number one, without question. But one of the first cameo whores I experienced when I started the archive is with a person known as K-Dog. K-Dog from the comic of Angry D-Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have heard about him before. He usually click in on the webcam comic beacon once in a while.
Yep. I hope he still listens.
I hope he is. Because he's going to get what does his do once I'm going to get him.
Alrighty.
I think Doc Nicholas the Whiteboard does quite a few, too.
Oh, yeah, Whiteboard.
Oh, yes, but he's a polar bear. I'm not going to miss. I'm not going to go up against him.
Well, I think that's about it for talking about cameos. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back... news.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
No nude news.
No, that's in Canada. Canada has nude news or something like that. There's a website somewhere.
Well, so does the Playboy Channel.
I don't watch the Playboy Channel. I don't watch TV much. I probably would not watch the Playboy Channel either. They don't really have a whole lot going on. I've seen their magazine. It's very tame.
And I use it for reference, but that's about it. It's a good reference.
A lot going on, they'd have a lot coming off.
Yep.
Say what?
They wouldn't have Playboy. Wouldn't have a lot going on. They'd have a lot coming off.
Yeah.
And sort of slowly and without any action. The Playboy Channel is really bad. Anyway, sorry.
Somebody's asking, why is Jenny everywhere in that nude montage wearing a scarf? That looks
weird.
Did
everyone know who she was?
Yeah, that's kind of her thing. That's kind of her thing. She also has the goggles on.
Yeah.
I got to put a link in the show notes for the Scooby-Doo-esque Jenny Everywhere Loxie and Zoot adventure. It's really funny. She ends up entering the comic by parachuting in. And, hey, all you guys are naked. It's a nudist colony already. And then she gets naked, too. It's just funny.
Because that's what people do when they paratroop accidentally into a nudist colony. Yeah. They just take off their clothes and go with it.
Well, when in Rome.
When in Rome, freeze your ass off. Okay.
Speaking of Jenny, if anyone who's been paying attention to the Jenny Everywhere comic jam that was being done on the Global Comic Jam site, Global Comic Jam site is presently down. So if you're trying to find where that is, and I actually owe the next strip really soon here, and I got to start drawing that. But if you just go to misadventure.jennyeverywhere.net, you'll go to a temporary site that's being put up on the Shifter Archive. So that in case anybody's lost that because the server went down, that's where it currently is, and I got a forum set up in case anyone needs to discuss things. So that's where that is. But also, Tanya, weren't you contacted by Michael Raustein recently?
Recently?
Well, okay, 2 weeks ago when we forgot to put it in the show.
Oh, by golly, I may have been. I've apparently forgotten about it entirely.
Oh, okay, well, I was going to let you introduce it.
I'm a horrible person.
Do you want me to introduce it?
Yes, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm a bad, bad person. People, seriously, email webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Don't email me. I'll forget.
Okay. The guest strip project that Michael Raustein is, you know, we've been talking about before. There is a Christmas donation-a-thon that's going to be going on. In April, I'm just going to read his whole email and just say, in April 2008, the Guest Strip Project launched its doors only for 1 year. It would raise money for Make-A-Wish Foundation with ads, donations, and upcoming merchandise. 5 months remain. This Christmas, we're doing another donation-a-thon. On the 1st of December is their 100th strip, and that spot could go to you. If you haven't already contributed to the Guest Strip Project, all you need to do is a Christmas strip. All you need to do is a Christmas strip and be one of the 31 artists, webcomic artists, or even just fans. As long as you can pick up a pencil, that's all we need. Send your entries to Moovok, MOOVOK, @yahoo.com. And who knows, you could be the 100th strip of the Guest Strip Project, a feat in itself. The strip must be 700 by 221. Okay. In a GIF format. A GIF format, and have a Christmas theme including one or all of the characters, the main characters of the comic, which you can see in strip one. And I guess even a couple of characters that have been added recently. I think a talking dog has been added. And don't forget in your email to include your website you want to be linked to, and let's raise some much needed funds for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Hurry fast, we only need 31 strips. And again, that's gueststripproject.co.uk.
Woohoo. I didn't.
We got some milestones this week. Milestones. And one milestone is Between Failures, which is hitting 2 years old on November 24th, which already happened. Well, tomorrow. Well, or 5 days ago, depending on when you're hearing this podcast. That's the only milestone we have this week. Yep, that's it. I'm going to check the Twitter real quick. I'm going to say
I do have news, but no milestones, so.
All right, well, have at you.
I didn't know if we were ready. Davis of E.H. Joe's contacted me through Twitter and wanted to let us know that E.H. Joe's has a Captain Canuck cameo in the fourth strip, and they're going to be doing a Paranoia Joe's crossover soon, which will be the combination of Paranoia High and E.H. Joe's, which should be hilarious and filled with large breasts.
Okay.
I'll get the link for both of those in the show notes.
Alrighty. Is that it?
Yeah, well, yeah, that was it.
Oh, you suck for news.
What? Hey! Other news. That's his ass. What the hell?
Is that news?
Not really.
No, that's an ongoing.
That's all I was contacted with.
That's not news. That's an editorial piece that's in there every week.
This news about E.H. Joe's and Paranoia High is all I was gifted on from above.
Well, all right. There is also something that we're doing. It's called Webcomic Bacon. What is Webcomic Bacon? Webcomic Bacon, if I can say it another time, is about an idea I had, because I'm an idiot and I constantly have ideas that cause me more work. But this one is not about me having more work to do. It's about getting other people to do some work. Webcomic Bacon is an idea I had to have a communal webcomic project, kind of like the Guest Strip project, but a little bit more structured and headed by at least a main group. I know that there are several people interested in this. And the idea is that, kind of thinking back to the brainstorm sessions that we had once before, do something like that again, only develop the comic that will be happening from the ground up, and just have no long story, no story comic. It'll be like gag a day, long gags, and very short stories. So we need to develop some characters. It can be anything from, I guess, breakfast foods that talk and walk around to humans, furries, aliens. I don't care. We want to have an episode where we get some people that are really interested in doing this and do a brainstorm for a new webcomic, a communal webcomic, kind of like how the Guest Strip project is, where we can have, you know, guest strips come on, people that want to do a guest strip. And, oh, holy crap. Oh, my God.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I am recording this. Fess! Are you seriously not recording this?
I checked my Skype window. It says that I was muted. But then again, you shouldn't have been able to hear me.
We can hear you,
all right?
Oh boy. Oh boy.
The chat room thinks you're insane.
That would be terrible.
No. I don't think you were muted. We all heard you. The chat room heard you.
Okay.
It's all right. It's okay, baby. Calm down.
Wow. If not, I had. Oh man, that's holy crap. That'd be terrible. Okay. Would you guys be interested in coming back in case it didn't happen?
The dress rehearsal, then, huh?
Well, hopefully it'll be the official thing. But in any case, so anyone who's interested in working on the webcomic Bacon project, to really get this going, go on to thewebcomicbeacon.com, and on the left-hand side, you'll see the user section of links. There'll be a link for the official forum. Click on that. That'll take you to a forum on the Rampage Network. And in there, you'll find one of our links is Webcomic Beacon, a communal webcomic. And express if you'd like to be a part of the starting group to actually develop the characters, the main core of characters. And I would like to try to make this, make the main group of characters an open source group of characters, or at least a usable form of the Creative Commons license. To try to make it a real good communal webcomic and have it a little bit more free and open. That way people don't have to worry about rights of this and that. For the beginning, just kind of make it an open source or something similar, ready to go and have some fun with it. And it'd be a comic press site, so we'd have multiple people with multiple logins for adding new comics and such. And so the work would be spread between everybody and such. I think it's a really fun idea, and if other people are interested, check, go into our forums, express some interest, and sometime maybe in December or January, hopefully December, we'll get a nice brainstorm show going. In any case, in other news, I talk way too much. And moving on from that, I'm going to talk a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Be sure to come in next week on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, U.S. Standard Time. I don't think we're in daylight savings anymore. -5 GMT, essentially. We are going to be having just an open forum show, possibly turn into a spectacular failure again. Woo-hoo. But it's going to be our one-year special. Hooray!
Yay!
everyone has to, well, you have to bring your own chips and pop and everything because, yeah. You know, it's the internet. You can't share food like that. So anyway, be sure to come back next week when we have a good old fun time. We'll probably fire up the Ustream and do some stupid things for everyone's amusement. In any case, I think that's it for the show. This is a short show. Short show. Short show?
Short show?
Short show.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. This is for Thanksgiving, so hopefully you guys are listening to this on or after Thanksgiving. I remind everybody that a great Thanksgiving song for you guys to listen to is Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant. It's a nice 18 and a half minute song, which usually plays on a lot of radio stations on Thanksgiving Day at noon. Yeah. But if not, I'm sure you could find it somewhere.
Yeah.
Download or to buy, or you can go on YouTube and see some live versions of it. In any case, that is it for the Webcomic Beacon, episode 52. 52, right? 52. This has been Fest of PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya at Betaphone.com.
Hogan.
And this is Silence.
Hogan.
I'm here.
Say your name and what you do.
This is Hogan of the KMU Crossover Archive.
This is Cam of the Camix.
Thank you all for coming this week. Be here next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Say hello.
That's all for Webcomic Beacon. Please join us again next week.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.